Cairo Knights, everybody. Home of the world's most enthusiastic weather reports.
Sorry.
Thank you, Frank.
Why not?
Why right? not, man? If you're going to do it. Do it.
Do it with...
That's what I say.
Anderson likes him.
That's right. What's up, everybody? Cairo Knights, Mason, Mike, hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Boy, what a show. We have a treat. We have a treat tonight, Frank. We've been full of treats lately.
Yes, you have.
Like Halloween up in here. Yeah,
I'm getting addicted. What's the treat tonight?
So there is a thing. There is a place. Well, there was a thing, and there was a place.
And a moment in time.
And a moment in time that could never happen again. And it's called Action Park.
Yes.
Some people refer to it as Traction Park. Some people refer to it as Class Action Park.
This was basically the park that kind of inspired the bad movie with the guys from Jackass, right?
Yes. Okay. Johnny Knoxville is a big fan.
Right.
Of course he is.
Anything that involves serious injury, he's a fan.
So between the, what was it, like the 70s and the 90s?
Yeah, roughly mid-70s and mid-90s.
Up in Vernon, New Jersey. There existed this theme park, this water slide park.
You went.
I didn't. Oh,
you're
actually.
Kidding.
Yeah, closed in 1996.
Dang.
When I was like 15, I guess.
Okay.
Well,
that's perfect age to run the place.
It is.
As it turns out, you could have been president.
You could. Way up in North. Yeah. It's way up in North Jersey. I don't have time to drive 45 minutes.
North Jersey.
North Jersey. So anyway, this place is legend. Because it just people were getting injured, but when you
sometimes killed
or deaths, drownings,
really?
Like it was just unsupervised mayhem. Some of the attractions they had there were designed by people who had never designed attractions before. They just had a crazy idea, and the guy who founded it went with it. Right? He was into it. He's like, you control your experience. You have a good time, and his son, Andy Mulvihill. He wrote a book called Action Park, Fast Times, Wild Rides, and the Untold Story of America's Most Dangerous Amusement Park, and he is going to join us at 8 o'clock.
God, and he great. Worked there when he was a kid and was, yeah. a test, and was a test dummy on some of the more infamous rides.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. So stay tuned.
I'm there.
For 8 o'clock. If for some reason you can't make the 8 o'clock appointment later after the show tonight, we, as we do every night, upload the podcast.
For free.
So search for Cairo Knights wherever you get podcasts and look for hour two of June 30th, 2020, and you'll get a treat there. We doing all right, fellas? We doing good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah?
There's no action park. There's nothing like it.
Listen, there isn't and there won't be again, and it makes me sad.
And probably shouldn't be.
And let's be honest.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, we still have a bunch of ski areas in the state.
Yeah, that's. I mean, skiing is dangerous because it's inherently dangerous because you're moving swiftly down a mountain.
Let's use your skiing comparison.
Yeah,
grab like a 12-year-old, yeah. strap him in some skis, get him to a double black diamond, and let him go.
Yeah, there it is.
That's Action Park.
Yeah, that's Action Park's
version of skiing.
Well, they have that up at
that's where the
boarders do all their stuff.
They don't take them up there untrained. And send them down.
That's right. Throw in some obstacles for fun.
There's a big difference.
There's cement involved.
Yeah.
Lots of cement.
Okay. Very much so. All right, folks. We got some news we got to get to before that all that fun stuff happens. The first story here we want to talk about is Snohomish County, because it looks like Snohomish County could be the first county in Washington State to slip back to phase one. Executive Dave Summers, County Executive Dave Summers up there in Snohomish, said today that, look, it's a bad scene. A week or so ago, quote, I would have thought it was a remote possibility. I don't feel that way anymore. Going back to phase one is clearly one of the options that could be in front of us. In the past week, Snohomish County has seen 42 new cases of the virus per 100,000 residents. 42 cases per 100,000 residents. You'll remember that one of the qualifiers for entering into phase two in the first place was having 25 cases per 100,000. They are now up to 42 cases. They say that this is due to increased activity, lack of social distancing, mask wearing. And the reason this is different is that, you know, previously cases were pretty clustered. That you could kind of track where people had been, people were staying laying low as it were, for the most part, but it's different now. People are out and about much more.
Yeah, they've ramped up testing as well. And
sure.
the other thing that that they're worried about is that we've seen this upward movement in the number of infections on the week prior to 4th of July weekend. And this is going to be a long weekend for a lot of people. And it's going to be, a nice weekend, although maybe we could ask Frank about that.
Overcast!
But here's the worry. With this small spike that is pushing them back into phase one, coupled with what's likely to happen this weekend and gatherings this weekend, the real worry is that by next week, they're going to drop back into phase one.
Right.
Absolutely. And King County is actually worried now about the same thing.
Yeah. King County, it's not looking great either. Local health officials are saying that, look, this is getting serious. That's a quote from Dr. Jeff Duchin. He's the Seattle King County Public Health Director, I believe. Earlier this month, King County was looking at 30 to 50 new cases a day. And recently, we're topping 100 on at least two separate days. That is a very, very significant increase. Since mid-month, just 2 weeks ago, Washington as a state has gone from between 1 to 200 cases every day to now we're over 400.
Yeah, and here's Jeff Duchin saying it's getting more serious, and please start acting accordingly.
Increasing cases over the past 2 weeks means we're having more contact with one another, but not taking more precautions. And that's giving COVID-19 too many opportunities to spread from person to person.
Yeah, so the issue, like we've said many times on the show, is that this phased reopening of this state and other states is not a one-way street. It can move both directions. And this is what we were talking about, I think, a month ago when we first started bringing it up, and this is what is happening in Snohomish County. This is, for everyone who thought that there was going to be a decline over summer and then maybe a respike in fall, we never really left the first wave, and that was the problem because of very, very different implementation of coronavirus response state to state to state. I mean, these states acted somewhat aggressively. California is loaded with people, and I think got a little lucky early on. Well, now they're not.
No.
They're not yet exceeding health facilities, but they are absolutely exceeding that rate, and California has in what, five counties?
Seven.
Seven counties has now reclosed bars and restaurants.
Yeah. Michigan, they found out that from going to one bar, at least 85 people got coronavirus, at least 100 positive cases from folks at one bar in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It looks like at least one county in Idaho has had to move back a stage. Here in the United States, we have 4% of the world's population, 25% of the coronavirus cases. Guys, we are failing at this. And I look, what's the difference? What's been the difference between the way we are responding to the situation and every other country in the world? And it's just this insanity. It's this just stubborn, intentional unwillingness to do a few simple things that are best for everybody. You just have to put the group's interest ahead of your own. And if you think about it, your own interests fall in line there too. You want businesses to be open. You want the economy to try and get back into some form of fight and shape. Well, the way you don't do that is by keeping this coronavirus at the rate it's going, at the trajectory it's going. Look at there are graphs all over the internet that you can look at and see infection rates and how the world looks, other countries look. It's this spike, and then everybody kind of settles down, and then we have this spike, and we kind of settle down a little bit, but then whoop, we go up to higher than we've ever been. I mean, this is upsetting. If you're concerned about the economy, you need to be concerned about coronavirus. We've seen over and over again how those two things are very much related.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with any of that. I would also add that when you go in a business that is adopting some standards. And I would say that where the state has fallen a little bit short is an inconsistency both in the rules you should follow and how to implement those rules, because some of the rules actually seem to conflict with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, common sense dictates that what you primarily worry about, rather than occupancy, what you primarily worry about is distancing. If you're in a store, if you're in a restaurant, if you're in a bar or some other place where people congregate to do either retail business or something along those lines, the distance thing is the paramount. The occupancy is based first on the distance thing.
Yeah.
If you can't get to an occupancy level while honoring the distance, then you don't get to that occupancy level. And I think that that's sometimes where some businesses have run afoul of it, is that the 6 feet of spacing among groups, among individual people and not maybe people who came in together, those sort of things are really important. And now we have Dr. Anthony Fauci saying, well, no to bars. Here's his quote. Bars, really not good, really not good. A congregation at a bar inside is bad news. We have really got to stop that, Fauci said, to the Senate Health and Education and Labor Pensions Committee hearing on COVID-19. He has been adamant that, yeah, he understands if people want to get together in very small groups. He doesn't want to shut down summer and people's interpersonal enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
But and that kind of stuff obviously hits close to home to me. But he is really pushing against bars. And when he's doing that, he's talking also about there are bars in town in Seattle that I've seen that are operating with really good spacing restrictions. They have outside seating. They have all the things. There are some that are not or don't appear to be policing it quite as well. And it's difficult because part of that involves people policing themselves. Because you don't have a one-to-one ratio staff to customer.
Right.
And it makes it a little bit difficult when people have, when you ask, they say, sure, we'll do that. And then you look over and then they're not doing that. And these are the type of things that I think, to Aaron's earlier point, that are going to put us back into phase one.
You own a bar. What's your reaction when you hear Dr. Fauci say what he said?
Well, you know, heartache, probably. I mean, this is very, very difficult financially for everyone who owns a business. Businesses businesses that are adversely affected by this. I suppose it's not for some others. So it's difficult. But I also understand that the more consistent we move into this restriction, the more quickly we will move out of it. And
right.
And I don't know. I'm actually haven't been super unhappy with some of the stuff that Jay Inslee has done, even the stuff that has cost me, you know, a worrying amount of business.
Yeah,
I get that. But I also understand that we need to do something to maintain the infection rate at a level that our healthcare system can deal with. All right. So I'm on board for that. But the problem is that in this country that we don't have a consistency among states, and we've talked about the number of flights coming in from Arizona, which is seeing a spike, the number of flights coming in from Florida, which is seeing a spike, the number of flights coming in from Texas, which is exceeding the infection rate of Italy at its worst today. When you see that, and you've got a lot of flights, been here in Austin as well. I mean, I've taken them many times.
Yeah.
Those sort of things are pretty worrying, because no matter how good of a job we do, we only do as good of a job as every other state. And these, I don't know how effective New York's quarantine is, and I think New Jersey's as well.
Mm-hmm.
Quarantine on 2 weeks if you fly in from another state. I mean, what people could do if they really wanted to get there is fly into the neighboring state that doesn't have the quarantine and drive home.
Drive right in.
Right. But maybe that is. Maybe that will sort of like hammer down to people, like, sit tight. Let's help us wait this thing out so we can actually get back to whatever version of normal is out there in the future.
I'm no sporto. I think I've made that abundantly clear. Primarily using the phrase sporto.
Exactly.
But what I do understand about swinging, whether it's a baseball bat or a golf club, is that follow through is crucial, that's part of it. And we need to follow through. We need to see this thing. You can't just call it off when you get bored. You just can't. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who don't want to follow mask rules. I saw on Friday night, I walked by a bar and heard screaming inside. I left the station, walked by a bar, heard screaming inside, and it was somebody flipping out about being told to wear a mask. Ended up throwing stuff at a TV, smashing a TV. I mean, it's just, it's it's bonkers. So everybody settled down. I saw something in the Wall Street Journal that talked about Hong Kong, and Hong Kong has 7.5 million residents. It's one of the most densely populated places on Earth, but they've had 6 deaths from COVID-19. They have had no lockdown. They've gotten nearly 3 million travelers a day from abroad, around half of them from mainland China, which is where the virus originated. And the key secret, they say, to Hong Kong's success is mask compliance. That during the morning rush hour, mask compliance in Hong Kong is 97%. And the 3% who don't comply are mainly Americans and Europeans, according to a professor they spoke to there. The only thing you can do is universal masking. That's what stopped it, according to the professor. So let's do it. Let's get it over with. You know, bite the bullet.
Yeah, no, I agree. As hard as it is, I'm trying to wherever I can. And it's nice when I go into a store and you see that level of, because I think you do see that level of compliance in a lot of places.
Yes, mostly.
Yeah, mostly. And I've also gotten to a store and realized I didn't have a mask with me because I was in my car and then driven back home. And part of that is not because I wanted the extra hassle. Part of that is that little bit of social shaming that goes on if you were to walk in like that, even though ostensibly I think I feel fine. I mean, right. I don't know. But I think that's an effective tool. The idea that everyone out there is wearing one, and you no longer look conspicuous with one. You look conspicuous without one.
Yeah. Yep. Social pressure's real. And it works. Man, we didn't even get to Durkin v. Sawant. have to cover that at some point. Lots of drama.
Speaking of social distancing.
Yeah, honestly. Look, a lot of show tonight. We already told you about Andy Mulvihill, the Action Park guy. He's coming in at 8 o'clock. Of course, we're going to have Stacey Joe at 9. Rachel Bell, though, she's got her old slot back at 7:30. Rachel is going to talk about how to throw a COVID-safe party, if there even is such a thing. We'll find out together on Cairo Nights. It's coming up next. Stay tuned, everybody. I'll just say what the song said.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your reaction sounded like she just popped out of a trap door.
Yeah,
in
well,
the
that's
floor.
The magic of radio.
Rachel Bell.
Yeah.
That's who we're talking to.
If anyone here would, it'd be you.
It would. I would love to pop out of a smoking trap door.
Why not?
You know what? If I ever own my own home, I've always wanted to have a secret room, you know, like where you
panic
go.
Room?
No, not a panic room. More like you push through the bookshelf, like a
yes.
Scooby-Doo style
yes.
room. That seems really cool.
I saw one just, I think it was today. They all blur together these days of ours. But somebody had a kitchen island, and the whole top of it slid back. And then what looked like some piece of wood on the end opened up into 2 doors, and there were stairs down
Whoa.
Into like a secret basement room. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
That Ooh. Is so cool.
Very James
but then,
Bond.
But then, who do you show it to, and who do you not show it
right.
to?
Right, that's the thing. Are you on the list? Can you know?
Right.
Can you know about the secret?
And can you trust everyone you showed it to?
I mean, Oprah's
it
telling everybody
like
about
a
secret.
Song to some 80s children's movie, what you guys are, what you're saying.
It's very Goonies.
Guilty.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about, Rachel?
I like that Let's moment of it. Silence for that. Yes. We're talking about how to throw a party in the time of COVID, or should you even been having a party? So people are starting to get restless. We've been in quarantine for several months, and now it is summer. It's graduation season. People are having birthday parties, weddings, things like that. And so people are finally succumbing to actually having these parties. And so in the Wall Street Journal, they gave some examples of people who attempted to have safe parties but kind of failed. So the first example they give is this woman said, hey, we're going to have a graduation party, but don't worry, it's going to be safe. We're going to have tables in the backyard, and each one will be assigned to a family. So you're only sitting with your people. Each family brings their own cooler of drinks. She said people wouldn't need a bathroom break or they could just go home, which I was like, okay.
What?
Doesn't go with the cooler part.
Nope.
But she said once the party started, it all fell apart. Everybody sat wherever they wanted. They drank each other's drinks out of the coolers. Everyone had to go to the bathroom. The teenagers were playing basketball together.
Oh, my God.
So I think it's hard to make it go as planned. So I noticed over the weekend that Terry Holloman, a.k.a. T-Holla, father of a teenager and friend of the show, his oldest daughter graduated from high school. And so they had a party and I wanted to know how he did it. So he said they have 4 acres of land. So they figured it would be easier to have an outdoor party.
We're going to have an outdoor event. People could be socially distant and remain relatively safe. We set up a bunch of tables, had them, of course, 6 feet apart. We only set up a couple chairs at each table. As far as like beverages, we had individual water bottles, individual sodas. Some of the cookies and cakes were pre-wrapped. Of course, every station had a hand sanitizer bottle there as well. And we actually rented a food truck. It kept everybody feeling relatively safe that their food was only being handled by people who were, you know, sanitized, wearing gloves and masks.
So the one thing that a lot of people are struggling with and craving right now, and they mentioned in this article too, was hugging. Did you guys try to refrain from hugging? You know, you come to a graduation party and that's everybody wants to hug the graduate. Did you keep people apart?
Oh, you want me to tell on myself right here on radio, Rachel? Goodness gracious. And you know the routine, and everybody out there knows the routine. When you see someone that you haven't seen in a while, the awkward, do you rub elbows? Do you fist bump? Do you turn around and bump butts or whatever it is that you do? So we had some awkward elbow to fist forearm bump shivers types going on here.
Did you get anybody RSVPing no and saying, I don't feel comfortable coming to a party yet?
My mom. My mom was like, I'm cool on my firstborn granddaughter's graduation. Thanks. See you later. You know, she has been dealing with some health issues. That's why. But then she came. She had a full mask. She looked like Doc in Back to the Future in a whole hazmat suit. But she came and she said hi, bye, and went on her way.
So he said they decided to have this party because all the things we've heard, you know, the high school kids didn't get to have a prom. They didn't have a graduation and they're all getting ready to leave for college and they feel like they're not going to get to see each other. And
right.
He said his daughter has been really upset the past couple months.
For a lot of people, it was their first time getting back out. My daughter's peer group, they've been together since they were in kindergarten. They had wanted to see this thing through all the way to the end with each other, and it was completely disrupted. And this was just everybody's, you know, sense of normalcy, getting back to something that was normal before they all go on to different areas of their lives. And so a lot of them were just very thankful that they had the opportunity to do this.
Just to put a bow on it, his daughter is going to play basketball at Seattle Pacific University. And he said it's happening as of now. Like, they're planning to move into the dorms.
Huh.
They're just going to play it by ear to see if the team plays. And they're being told they're giving all these instructions just to exercise at home and to play basketball by themselves on
wow.
the court to practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good party.
It does.
Honestly.
It does. I saw the pictures. It looked like people were pretty spaced out. Not always. I think when you get there, it's hard to do it. Every time I've met up with a friend who's invited me to go on a, quote, socially distanced walk, we stand right next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't wear masks, admittedly, because I think you feel like, oh, I'm with one person.
Right.
So I don't need to wear a mask. And I don't know how right or wrong that is.
And this person's really funny. So how could they possibly?
They can't be carrying a virus.
Hey, listen, you hear that joke? This person's not infected.
Yeah, I've gotten really into the mask situation. It's almost I don't want to say deal breaker, but it's the kind of thing where, like, if I went to Terry's party and no one was wearing masks, like, that's a bad situation. It just is. Like,
yeah.
You just got to look at what's going on right now. Things are getting worse and worse. Masks, what's it like, 70%? I don't remember the exact numbers, but the science is there. And so when it's something that can help you connect or feel connected, even though you kind of really can't or at least aren't supposed to these days. But I mean, his mom shocked me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how serious this is.
Yeah.
You know, and she's been dealing with some health issues and might be in a group that's at higher risk, but the more and more we learn about this thing, the more items are added to the higher risk category. Yeah. And soon it's like having brown eyes is going to be on there. Like, it's just things that a lot of us deal with.
I want to be clear. I do wear a mask every time I go into any store. And
yeah,
I am very pro mask. I just have not been as good at policing myself of when I'm with a friend one-on-one.
Yeah. My girlfriend and I go on long walks like Rachel does, you know, these multi-mile jaunts around town. And if I'm out and I'm by myself and just it's just her and I don't wear a mask.
Yeah, I wouldn't in that situation either.
But you have to keep it with you because you get in situations or you may have to where you can't make that wide berth or you're waiting in line outside something to maybe pick up groceries. You know, so I always virtually every single bag like in my vehicle, I have like 10 masks.
You've masks
everywhere, including on my desk right now.
You're like a squirrel.
Yeah.
I think it's hard when you listen and, you know, it's these kids haven't seen each other. They're really upset. They're depressed. And like, it's really hard, I think, because you want to respect that. But also in the scheme of things, if you got sick, that's nothing compared to not seeing your friends for a few months. I mean, young people are getting sick.
At parties.
I think going back to college is going to be a big problem. Because when I was that age, I wouldn't have listened to all. I would have been one of those dumb kids in Florida.
Oh, me too.
In the pool with hundreds of people. Like, I think we're going to have a big swing up once school starts again in the fall.
Yeah. I think that's true.
They're already having problems at the frat houses and sorority houses at UW.
Yeah.
Big problems. Bye, Rach.
Thank you. Always leaving on a positive note. We're all going to die. Bye, guys.
Bye. We'll be back. We're Kara Nights after this.
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
Cairo Knights, Mason Knights. Like, let's talk about something that isn't CHOP and isn't COVID. Can we do that?
Nope.
No. I'm going to try.
All right.
I'm going to do my best.
Give it a go.
Everything's been touched by it, right? But here's what I'm going with. Let's talk about transportation. And I don't mean, you know, municipal transportation. I mean, there's two stories today, both out of GeekWire, where they talk about the Flixbus, which is this pretty sweet high-tech bus that will take you from Seattle to Portland for $15, which is, checking my wallet, a sweet deal. I just did the math.
It is a good deal.
It's a very good deal. Nice buses. They have had to suspend operations here in the U.S. because of the pandemic, but they're coming back. And they're implementing some safety guidelines, and here they are. They're going to take care of the buses after each trip. They're going to disinfect them and do all that. You, if you're a passenger, you have to wear some sort of a face covering, a mask, while you're on board. They're going to have hand sanitizer for you on the front of the bus when you get on there. The driver is going to be wearing a mask and gloves. They're not going to let you sit in the seats right behind the driver, so you can kind of distance yourselves from them. And there was a cute little video that I watched about this, and it was done. I think it's a German company.
It is.
There's no language in it. There's no dialogue. It's just music. It's almost like an airplane safety video. And they have a guy checking passengers in, and while you're checking in to board the bus, you have to remain 6 feet away. And they have a woman who's pulling out her phone for them to sort of scan, and they're doing a touchless kind of e-ticket thing now. And this guy comes up behind her, like right up behind her. And then in some of the greatest pantomime I've seen as of late, the guy who works for the co, he's in the shirt and tie, just kind of puts his hands up and extends them and says with his body, "No, sir, more distance." And then the goofus, I guess.
Exactly.
The goofus of the situation.
He's admonished. He moves back.
Yes, yes. Shame. Shame working again. Have you ever taken this bus?
This one, no, because they started and ended. Fairly quickly, because they're pretty new in town, although they're not new in Europe. They're very popular there. I haven't. I would. Absolutely. I've taken the Bolt bus before. I've taken it from D.C. to New York City, and I've taken it from here to, I think, both to Vancouver. We took it to Bellingham, and then once or twice to Portland. They're great. They had Wi-Fi. They got there relatively. I mean, you're on the, you know, you're still...
subject to traffic on I-5, although that's a lot lower right now. Yeah. So it's gone back to being a 3.5-4 hour drive reliably, although for a while there was like a 7 hour drive to get from here to Portland just because of traffic. So I like it. I like the idea. I'm curious what they're going to do in the configuration on the inside,
yeah,
about how far apart people are going to be separated. If you're curious where you pick up the bus, it's in the International District, fairly close. If you ever rode the Bolt bus, or if you've been to the King Street Station, not very far from there. It is going to be more toward the Wajamaya Market in the International District, on Lane, I think it's 6 South. So you pick it up on the street there. But it is. I'm hoping it does really well. I mean, it'd be nice to have a good quality cheap bus if they're if they are doing the sanitization every time somebody the people get off the bus. I think that's great.
Yep.
And if you've taken Amtrak to Portland and had to pay for that, and I like you, I'm sure we all do, we all prefer the train, but I don't know why we don't have better train service. It's just it's maddening to me.
Yeah.
And why it's so expensive. This may be so a good expensive alternative for you heading down to Portland if you are actually getting out of the house and heading anywhere at all.
Did I ever tell you about the time I took a bus from a Greyhound from L.A. to Olympia?
Well, that sounds fun.
That was not fun. 24 hours that trip took. Wow. 24 hours. Yeah, not going to do that again. So maybe you're not a bus person. Okay. Well, there's a new opportunity for you in town. Gig car share. Gig, as in get in and go, is a service like LimePod or Car2Go or Reach Now that we used to have here in the city. They all vanished.
In 2019, just fairly recently.
Yeah, fairly recently. Well, AAA, this is a AAA thing, Gig Car Share. They have now 250 Priuses out on the streets. It's just a Seattle thing for now, but pretty much the same situation as your Car2Go.
Yeah, I'm already a member. I was a member of Car2Go, and they allowed you to essentially grandfather in on Gig. I'm also a AAA person. If you're a AAA member, you get a little bit of a discount.
Mm-hmm.
I personally was surprised at how quickly I adopted the share cars. I dug it. I like the share bikes as well. I mean, I know there's people who don't, but for me, I don't like sometimes the carelessness with where people leave them. I think that's I agree with people who criticize them about that. But I liked it. I used the thing I liked the most about it is especially if I needed to go somewhere to pick something up, or I just needed to get to, say I was going to walk home to work or walk to work, but I realized at the end, oh, wow, I really should get back home more quickly than I realized. You just check on your phone, jump in one.
Yep.
It's relatively inexpensive.
Yep.
I'm a believer, and I was kind of bummed that we went from three to choose from. You could find a car within 2 blocks anywhere in Seattle, and then suddenly we went from that to none. Now we're back with another one, and I'm going to be a patron here from probably a few times a month.
I don't know what happened. Were there because there were three different companies trying to compete, was one unable to get enough of the market share to be financially stable?
So, no. And so this is a bigger question, and this is also affecting food delivery. Like, virtually all of these companies, including food delivery companies, are not operating at a profit. The economy, this idea that you're going to crest this imperceptible hill and get to the profit side, I think that remains an open question.
Guys, coming up next, after the break, we're going to talk about Action Park. With the son of the man who started it.
Get out the Band-Aids.
Get ready.
Call your lawyer and your doctor.
Take a Tylenol now.
Exactly. In advance.
We'll be back. More Kyra Nights after this.